journey of a lifetime.
From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of hearts through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله الحمد لله رب العالمين All praises is due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى Abundance of peace and blessings be upon Nabi Kareem, Rauf al-Rahim, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions, alayhim ridwan. To our South African brothers and brothers throughout the globe, whoever is celebrating Eid, Eid Mubarak to one and all. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, may Allah Azza wa Jalla make this day and moment even more blessed and special for one and all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our lawful wishes. MashaAllah Azza wa Jalla, I'm accompanied by our honorable scholar, MashaAllah, our Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafidhahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower blessings upon Ameen you as well, ya Sayyidi. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And for the fact that you have made time from your busy schedule on the day of Eid, may Allah Kareem bless you in abundance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. It's a pleasure to be among us.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Usually on the day of Eid, Mulana Sahib, it's the day of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shedding blood, and subhanallah, admiring those jannati animals, subhanallah, because of whom our sins, yani, it's an expiation, it gives its life. Those sinless animals, should we say, give their lives to expiate our sins. Subhanallah. So may I ask Mulana Sahib, mashallah, since our discussion is with regards to the downpour of mercy, Allah's rahmat, Allah's karam, Allah's fadl in the month of Dhul Hijjah is unimaginable, ya Sayyidi. Firstly, we should remember that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the creator of time. As this companion, Ka'b al-Akhbar radiyallahu anhu, was known as Hafidhul Kitabain. He was the Hafidh of Qur'an Pak and the Hafiz of Torah.
Subhanallah.
And he says that subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jalla created time and 4 months of Hurma. 4 months of Hurma are the most beloved times to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram, and the fourth month which is separated is Rajab.
Subhanallah.
So he says Allah is the creator of time and the 4 months of Hurma are the most beloved times for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from these 4 months, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. Dhul Hijjah is the most favorite month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of this month of Dhul Hijjah, the first or the initial 10 days are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To this extent, ya Sayyidi, that he takes oath by this in the Holy Quran Pak, wal fajr, wal ayalina ashr, by the oath of the dawn and by the 10 nights.
Allahu Akbar.
In the commentaries of the Holy Quran Pak, 10 nights here, one opinion is that it refers to the initial 10 days of the month of Dhul Hijjah. So we are actually living this 10 days, mashallah. We had the opportunity from the first of Dhul Hijjah until today, subhanallah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So it's only about karam, it is about the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. As the ulama ikram have stated, you know, on the day of Eid, we cannot even fast, ya Sayyidi, because it's a downpour of mercy.
Allah.
Fasting is a great ibadat, but today's day is the day of eating. Whereas the ulama ikram state, Allah Azza wa Jalla is the host and the servants are the guests, subhanallah.
And
it is a form of disrespect that the host, yani Allah Azza wa Jalla, has made your rozi to be on a certain table spread that you're going to eat there, and a banda says, I'm fasting.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. So, though fasting is an ibadat, a great form of worship, but today's day is all about eating, drinking, and performing Allah's dhikr. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Subhanallah. Because there are various other ayat of the Holy Quran that speaks about remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla in these specified days. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ And ma'dudat here, referring the ulama ikram state, ya Sayyidi, it is referring to the days of takbir tashriq.
Allah.
What is takbir tashriq? Exactly what we are doing after every fard salah.
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah wallahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. This beautiful tasbih and dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, subhanallah. actually has connection and nisbat with the three holiest personalities, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, and the archangel Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam.
Subhanallah.
So it's a form of dhikr, the days of dhikr, the days of enjoyment, yani making shukr to Allah Azza wa Jalla, giving gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we committed sins, but He gave us an option to sacrifice the animal, and for each will, for each hair, a virtue is given to you, subhanallah. Before its blood touches the ground, your gunas and your sins are mu'af, they are forgiven, subhanallah. What a great deal, Ya Sayyidi. What was your experience, if Mohsab can share with us, with regards to the day of Eid?
Subhanallah, Mohsab. As we know that this beautiful day of Eid al-Adha, where we show gratitude, where we express our thanks in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mohsab, I have to say that, you know, so many Muslims, so many people gathered, and each of them, you know, when the animal was about to be slaughtered, then you would see small children going towards the animal, going towards the sheep and petting it before it could be slaughtered.
Allah.
Some children were seeing actually taking a bucket of water
to go and give it to the animal.
Some were feeding it grass. So this shows, you know, how merciful these kids were, even people in general were to these animals, showing mercy to other fellow Muslims, to the other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are actually attracting the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you look at them, it makes you contemplate, it makes you ponder, it makes you think that, you know what, these animals, they are mute. They cannot speak. They cannot express the pain that they are going through. And when they are going towards the place of slaughter, you can see it in them that they know that they are going to be sacrificed.
Allahu
they
Akbar.
Know that my life is going to be taken upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah.
And you know, when you ponder over this, you think to yourself that look at how submissive they are. That upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are ready to sacrifice themselves. So it should make a person think that what are we sacrificing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That animal has sacrificed life,
right?
And a person should at the same time, instead of taking out videos of the poor animal being slaughtered, instead of smiling and laughing or joking and cracking jokes one side, having a conversation on the other side, and instead of doing all of that, if a person just has to focus upon the animal and just ponder upon these facts, they will come to realize that I need to sacrifice for the sake of Allah. I also need to slaughter my ego. I need to slaughter my jealousy, my hatred, my malice, the grudges that I hold. I need to slaughter all of these things. Because the day of Eid, Munasab, it is a day of Eid. And a person, a believer, should not make it a day of Wa'id. A person should not make it a day of admonition. You know, because if that's the case, then they lost the entire essence of this beautiful day.
Yes, true.
And this is a day where a person shows utmost gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, Ya Sayyidi, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, it is only the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us sinful servants that we're able to enjoy this day, subhanallah, with our families and see the sacrificing. And Allah Kareem has specified a sacrificial for every religion. You know?
Allah.
And this is the hukum and this is the order for us Muslims. This is the verse in the Holy Quran, وَلِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَعَلْنَا. And for every nation, we have appointed a sacrifice.
Allah,
for every
Allah.
Nation, we have appointed a sacrifice that they should mention the name of Allah over the mute animals.
Allah.
Which He has provided them. So remember, your God is one God. Submit therefore only in His majesty court and give glad tidings, O beloved, to the humbled ones.
Subhanallah.
So once again, we learn, we are just reminded over and again that yes, humbleness is so important. One has to be tender-hearted when he is sacrificing that animal with tears in the eyes, with these thoughts in the mind that the sinless animal is giving its life for my sins to be expiated.
Allah,
it's being sacrificed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's giving its life in the way and in the path of Allah azza wa jal. For this banda, who makes lesser dhikr as compared to that animal that's being sacrificed. Allahu Akbar. But Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to give us another chance to start afresh. That here, you can start all over again. Your sins are pardoned. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will want us to perform virtuous deeds. So all these are actually motivation. First 10 days motivation for rewards and sawab. The haji who just returned from Hajj, Allah given him another chance as well.
Yes.
And subhanAllah, now we're going to see how many of those brothers who have performed the rites of Hajj and who have experienced something that they never imagined in their lives before. Here, as they get back to the country, shaitan will try so hard. It is the downpour of mercy, Ya Sayyidi. We try to, subhanAllah, Azza wa Jalla, go back and see how can I better my life from this point here. Because it's the end of the Islamic calendar.
Right.
And from Muharram, we're starting a new year. So in Muharram, it's very hard to set new goals.
Oh,
it has to end on a positive note
right.
to start on a positive note as well, inshallah.
100%.
Mulana Sahib, let me know, tell me that, subhanAllah, what I was going to ask Mulana Sahib was that, alhamdulillah, usually in Qurbani, we all wait to eat the fresh part of the animal that comes cooked and ready.
Right.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Did Mulana Sahib and the family look forward to this? Because, we are living in times, Ya Sayyidi, where the youth of today have no such interest in those items which are sunnah to eat.
Right.
Rasul Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would eat the parts of the animal that's prepared for him. Subhanallah. This is one way of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people do not eat it and they find it very difficult to eat. Yes, many look forward to that, subhanAllah. Well, actually, but it's a very good and healthy thing, Ya Sayyidi.
100%, Musab. And actually, I personally look forward to that. And I love to eat the kaleji, to eat the liver, alhamdulillah. You know, once you slaughter the animal, sacrifice the animal, and when you consume that, it's a different feeling altogether. It's a different taste altogether because you are having it fresh. Although some say that they cannot eat fresh meat, Munasab. And some say that, I need it to be frozen after 2-3 weeks and I can pick it up.
Ya Salam.
And then I will have it. So this is the case of some of them, Munasab, where they can't stomach a meat that is fresh. But when we go back to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaching us, encouraging us, have the kaleji, have the liver. Because, this is a beautiful sunnah and practice of Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think it's about the taste, Ya Sayyidi.
100%.
And sometimes for many people, it's about seeing the animal being slaughtered, before your eyes. Yeah, they can't stomach that. So then eating some portion of the very same animal that was alive a few moments before your eyes. And then after a few moments, the same thing is cooked and presented to you. And then you're going to be like, what? I was just petting that animal. I just fed that animal. And now I have to eat this. It becomes difficult and hard for some people.
100%.
But the paya is very healthy. Yes, there are discussions on this matters as well. You know, how it should be prepared. And what portions should a person eat? How often should he eat? There are some tasty things, but anything that a person would eat a lot and there's no limitation, then this will cause body issues and matters and health issues, all of that. However, alhamdulillah, with that comes other portions which a person should not eat.
Oh.
And we see the things that people are supposed to eat, don't eat. And the things that they're supposed to eat,
they want to eat that.
The thing that they're not supposed to eat, they would eat that.
Right.
And the thing that you're supposed to eat, they would say, nah, ojo, wo nahi khana hai. So I think it's a youth mainly of today. Our grannies and grandfathers, even today.
They would love it, Mulasa.
Exactly. Even today, if you go to, mashallah, Pakistan, when I was there, to my surprise, because in South Africa, this is not the system. In Indo-Pak, in Pakistan, mashallah, and in many other countries of the world, if that meat was sold, the zaba happened in the morning.
Right.
And the person who's selling the meat sells the meat to the public. But the leftover meat was sold by the afternoon.
Right.
To many people, it is stale meat.
Yet it's meat
zaba. Just a few hours, it's the same day. Like, ye shaam ko kyun bika, bhai? We don't eat stale meat. And they would be very fussy about it that no, we want the taza gosht. To bhai, taza to kise kahenge? You know, something that was slaughtered a few moments ago, a few hours ago, but for them, no. 5-7 hours should not pass over the animal. They will still purchase it, but sometimes after much bargaining with the butcherman. But in South Africa, it's a total opposite. The older the meat,
the more they like it.
Yeah. And yet the nutrition, the health benefits, all that vitamins and all that the body needs. Firstly, the blessings is placed into that animal which Allah has put in our control. This is also a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that those animals that are powerful. Allah ne hamare qabze mein diya hai. Bhai, you can hold its ears, you can hold its horn, and they would listen to you. They are strong. Bull is so strong.
Yeah.
A man takes a bull and he makes it walk all the way to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
So Allah Kareem has given us the power in our hands to control these animals. Anything that commences with the name of Allah, Allah Kareem places barakah and blessings in it.
Subhanallah.
You open a business, you open in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You start anything permissible, anything jayz, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You bought a new home, start and have the opening of your new home with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things, Ya Sayyidi, that commences even our eating, our drinking, our sleeping, our driving, our day-to-day activities in our lives in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to the extent of even using your clothes, removing off your clothes. Anything that you do which is permissible, if it's done in the name of Allah, Allah Kareem places barakah and blessings in it. And He protects a person from evil-sightedness, jinn, jadu, bala, all these things. Over and above that ghost and meat and animal that you are eating now, that was slaughtered in the name of Allah, as you mentioned, all of those abilities and powers that we speak about is now into that animal. And Allah Kareem gives us good physique, good health, good nutritions through that which is halal, which is tayyib, which is pure. So I think that we need to educate our youth of today. If they see something that they would not eat, which is not in their menu, which is not in their diet, they would push it away and not want to eat. But many a times, the thing that we dislike eating is most important for the body. The body requires that, but the training was never to eat it. So I think this is something that we should look into as parents and try to get our children used to things like that, inshallah.
100%, Munasab. And you know, you were mentioning starting every permissible, jayz thing that a person wants to initiate upon the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows how much of power there is in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, I recall a very beautiful story with regards to this aspect, just to highlight and to show how important it is to begin every permissible, lawful task with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was this young girl, right? She was listening to a discourse, to a lecture. And the lecturer was talking about the benefits, about the excellences of reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So this girl, she became so motivated by it that she accepted Islam.
Allah.
And her parents, they were disbelievers. So she goes back home, and when her parents hear about it, that she became a Muslim, they started not to like her anymore. They even conspired to have her killed and to have her murdered as well. So what happened, her father, he was a minister at the king's court. So what he did, he took the ring of that king, he brought it home, he told his daughter that keep this ring for me. Now this daughter, her habit was, she would always start everything by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If she's standing up, she'll say Bismillah. Sitting down, Bismillah. Opening the door, Bismillah. Going to sleep, Bismillah. Waking up, Bismillah. Every permissible act,
right,
she would say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So she took the ring from her father, reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And to sleep at night, she put the ring under her pillow. Her father came and he took the ring. He threw it out the window. And that ring fell into the river. Next morning, a person went for fishing, and he caught that same fish which had swallowed the ring.
Allah.
He caught that fish, he brought it to the market to sell. Her father goes to the market now with his intention to purchase fish. So he goes, he's looking at all the beautiful fishes that they are, and he's choosing which one can I take. Eventually, he chooses one specific fish. He takes this fish home, he tells his daughter, slice up this fish, cut it and make a nice curry out of it. So his daughter takes the fish, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. She goes, she cuts it, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When she cuts it, she finds the ring is there.
Wow.
She takes it, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, inside her pocket.
Allah.
Meal is served, tasty fish curry is served. She takes it to the dining table and she serves it to her family members. As they are seated, the father now asks her, he knows that he threw the ring, but he asks her, oh my daughter, where's the ring? In order to accuse her of losing the king's ring so that she can be into trouble. So she takes it out from her pocket, confidently reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And she says, oh my father, here's the ring. So we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved this girl due to reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Powerful, Ya Sayyidi. Powerful wazifa and dua. And subhanAllah, it is in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla that you call out to the most merciful, yes. Rahman, Rahim, Kareem, Allahu Akbar. And this world, everything, Ya Sayyidi, has been created in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of everything that exists. And everything gives us a sign that Allah's existence is there. SubhanAllah, the trees, plants, mountains, stars, sky, earth, animals, humans, everything. Allah Kareem is the initiator, the creator, our sustainer, and everything, SubhanAllah. And we should recognize our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a blessing, the form of the day of Eid, Ya Sayyidi, SubhanAllah, for thousands of brothers. The hurtful part is that there are many, many brothers who could have not afforded to have done their qurbani this year due to whatever circumstances in their lives. This is how zindagi takes a change. There are brothers I know in South Africa who done 10 qurbanis last year.
Allah.
This year they could only afford 5. There are many brothers who could afford lesser. There are some brothers who could not afford to buy animals this year. Because Allah Kareem changes the status and the state of a person. And a person sometimes is responsible for this. It could be a test in a person's life as well. Whatever the condition is, whatever the reasonings are, at the end of the day, we have to have patience, sabr, and continue hoping that my life will get better, inshallah. And make niyat from now that next year, I would perform my qurbani. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, you should be sahib nisab to perform your qurbani in the first place. May Allah Kareem make us reach that nisab that we are able to perform our qurbani so that we can also get virtues and blessings. The same qurbani animal will come on the day of Qiyamah with its hooves, with its horns, with its wool and hair. And subhanAllah, it will be a ride for that person on the bridge of Sirat. One hadith of the beloved Rasulullah says it will be a barrier between the person and the hellfire. SubhanAllah. How fortunate are those brothers who performed their qurbani. Our sisters, mashallah, who performed their qurbani. Many times sisters have jewels, they have gold, they have silver. And they might not have income that's consistent, but because of keeping so much of jewels in their home that reaches the value of nisab, qurbani becomes wajib upon them as well. And mashallah, azza wa jalla, the Islamic sisters who saved throughout the year so that they could perform their qurbani. Allah bless each and every person who had nek niyat, good intentions from inception, from the very beginning, that, you know what, I want to perform my qurbani this year, and they work towards it, and they've got their qurbani done,
and
mashallah.
And this is such a profound, beautiful investment for the hereafter as well.
No doubt, Sayyidi, no doubt, subhanAllah. And we have become submissive in this way, you know. I want to do my qurbani, Ya Allah, I want to do my qurbani, just like Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, because this is what we have learned from this gratitude, thanks, submissiveness, selflessness. He was only 7 years old. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was 7 years old when Allah commanded him, aslim,
Allah,
submit. And the Quran says, qala aslam to the rabbil alameen. At that point in time when he was only 7 years old, at the tender age of 7, you know what he says? Allahu Akbar. He humbly replied, I have submitted to the one who is the Lord
Allah,
of all the worlds.
Allah.
SubhanAllah. At a tender age of just 7 years old, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam submitted in this way. So he remains steadfast upon all difficulties of his life, Ya Sayyidi. From the very beginning, from 7 years old, look at his wisdom, look at his intellect, look at his tariqa-e-kar, mashallah, whereas he spread Islam, he conveyed the message of Allah Azza wa Jalla to the people. But from a young age, he never ever followed polytheism, you know, he never worshipped idols, but he guided people. And then when, of course, he had announced his prophethood, he guided people towards Islam. And then he openly invited them towards Islam. Though he was born in the era of Namrud, he did not even care about his threats. He did not care about how tyrant this king was. But he was most concerned that the message of Allah has to reach them. Allah has